Support for Something Wild comes from you, our listeners, and from Squam Lakes Natural Science Center, celebrating 60 years. Special programs on the live animal trail and Squam Lake cruises, bringing people nearer to nature. More at nhnature.org.
Hey, Grace, remember when you said spring peepers were a sign of spring for you?
Oh, yeah, those tiny peeping calls on wet spring nights.
Well, for me, springtime is New Hampshire Fish and Game's annual PSA to not save a fawn if you find one in the woods curled up all alone. And right now, it's peak fawn season for white-tailed deer in New Hampshire.
That's right. New Hampshire's deer population temporarily triples with the birth of thousands of fawns from late May into mid-June.
I'm Dave Anderson with the Forest Society.
And I'm Grace McCulloch from New Hampshire Audubon. And this is Something Wild.
Every year, New Hampshire Fish and Game reminds people who find newborn fawns to leave them alone. White-spotted fawns are perfectly adapted to remain well hidden in sun-dappled shade and remain still, awaiting an attentive mother nearby who will return at least twice a day to nurse the fawns.
Does often separate twins or triplets to keep them from predators. If danger approaches, a fawn may flatten its ears, lower its head, and remain motionless. Sometimes even slowing its breathing.
All of these strategies help keep young fawns hidden and safe from predators.
Within a week or two, fawns will become more active, learning to follow their mothers and even sprint from danger.
Well, according to New Hampshire Fish and Game, the statewide deer population before the 2025 hunting season was estimated to be at roughly 110,000, nearly equal to the population of Manchester.
Wow.
I tried to be a deer biologist, but my attempt at simple deer math was thwarted by more sophisticated population modeling. I figured if half the population are females and each produces twins, and then 25% of them actually survive, the net gain might be 5,000 deer per year. Well, it turns out I wasn't too far off.
Maybe we should leave the math to the biologists.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Adult does typically give birth to twins, what Dave calls an heir and a spare.
But life is tough for young deer. A study on Mount Desert Island in Maine estimated that roughly 3/4 of fawns do not survive their first year.
Deer face shifting predator populations and suburban hazards like roads, car collisions, and increasing pressure from development.
It can be a hard knock life for individual deer, but collectively they have the overwhelming power of sheer numbers, which creates direct effects on the ecosystem.
Many homeowners already know the impacts of deer on gardens, shrubs, and fruit trees. In some forests, heavy browsing is also changing native plant communities.
In areas with the highest deer densities, forest understory plants, wildflowers, ferns, and tree seedlings, and young saplings are being impacted by heavy deer browsing. Think tasty trilliums and luscious lady slippers disappearing like cheesecake bites at a buffet table of root vegetables.
As tender native plants disappear, tough, less palatable, invasive plants often take over. Species like barberry, buckthorn, garlic mustard, bittersweet, and multiflora rose.
And all those deer,
not to mention mice,
are the primary vectors for the spread of wood ticks and black-legged ticks.
Oh, deer ticks.
More deer, more ticks, more blood-borne pathogens, including Lyme disease and a growing list of other really nasty diseases. Ah!
This week, tens of thousands of fawns are being born across New Hampshire forests, hidden in tall grass or curled up beneath ferns. Over the course of their lives, they will both inhabit and shape the forest around them. Something Wild is a joint partnership of the Forest Society, New Hampshire Audubon, and NHPR.
I was out in the moonlight last night. Veeries were singing, gray tree frogs were trilling.
Oh, I love their trills.
The spring peepers were just roaring. This is the best part of the entire year right now, late May.